Thank you guys for joining us this Sunday, April 16th, the second Sunday of Easter. We're using setting number 8. Announcements, council meeting today is at 2 o'clock. Monday food pantry is Linda and Ernie. On Tuesday, we have Bible study at 10 o'clock. Wednesday is the youth group at 5:45. And Thursday is the day that we kind of start taking donations for our spring cleaning basement sale that will be hosted, I believe, on the April 28th. See, I was close. Don't show up on the 27th or 26th. The flowers up here, just to remember those who are honored. The flowers up here are in memory of Dan Culpepper and Ron Funk, Gustav and Opal Lofgren, Oscar and Marie Lofgren, Bono, Jonathan, and Michelle, and the beloved friends and family for Pastor Ann Knight. With that, let's do the confession and forgiveness. Please stand as able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever. Almighty God, to whom all our hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, whom is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts and through faith. The gathering song is 377. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe, and the hope of those who doubt. May we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the 12th or 2nd chapter of Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, and crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in his power. But David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, and he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with him oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Let us read Psalm 16 responsibly. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all others. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. My heart therefore is glad. Spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. You shall show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second reading is from the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is you rejoice. Even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that through perishable is tested by fire, may be found to be resolved in praise and glory and honor of Jesus Christ to be. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Hopefully, Pastor Ann will
be reading. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I am absent from a lot of pictures taken in my seminary cohort when we were in St. Paul, Minnesota for intensive classes. Sometimes it is because I am the photographer capturing the moment, but more often it is because I was not there when the picture was taken. In my first year of seminary, I missed out on some of our communal events because I was too busy studying. In the other years, it is likely that I just didn't want to venture out in the snow and ice one more time that day to go to dinner. I missed out on the camaraderie. I missed out on the adventure. I missed out on seeing a friend fall and break her arm. Whenever there is a discussion of any of those experiences, I feel a bit left out, just as I feel left out when my sister talks about birthday parties and holiday dinners and other family gatherings that I've been unable to attend. Have you ever felt left out? Has there ever been a time when friends or family members have gone to a movie or out to dinner without you? Maybe they didn't invite you, or you saw the invitation too late, or you had somewhere else you had to be and just could not join them. Whatever the reason, they had an experience and you did not. What happens when they talk about it among themselves and you're an outsider because you were not there? How does that make you feel? In today's gospel lesson, the disciples are gathered on Easter evening in a locked room. They've heard Mary Magdalene tell of finding the stone rolled away from the empty tomb and her encounter with a man she thought was the gardener, the one she recognized only after he had called her by name. They've heard how Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved ran to the tomb and saw the stone rolled away and the linen cloths rolled up, but no body. So here they are, gathered together, with the door locked because they're afraid of the religious leaders. All except Thomas. We are not told why he's not present. Is he out on an errand? Has he resumed the life that he had before he had been called by Jesus? Is he the only one not afraid of death? Remember a few weeks ago when our gospel lesson was the raising of Lazarus? Lazarus and his sisters lived in Bethany in Judea. Jesus and his disciples had left Judea because some of the religious authorities wanted to stone him due to his teachings. When Jesus said he was going to Bethany, Thomas replied, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Maybe now that Jesus has been crucified, Thomas has more courage to face the prospect of death than the others. Whatever the reason may be, Thomas is not with the others in the locked room on this Easter evening. The disciples are trying to make sense out of what they've seen and heard. Jesus' predictions of his death, Peter's denial, Judas' betrayal, the crucifixion, the stories of the empty tomb, and Mary Magdalene's assertion that she's seen the Lord. They may be discussing their own doubts regarding the resurrection accounts and their own fears of what will happen next when Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his wounds, the scars on his hands left from the nails that had held him to the cross, the scar on his side from where the soldier had pierced him to make sure he was dead. They hear his words and see his wounds, and they recognize him and are filled with joy. Jesus speaks to them again, saying, "Peace be with you." To this greeting, he adds, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus breathes new life into them, just as God breathed life into the first humans. And just as God sent Jesus with a mission to the world, Jesus gives the disciples a mission to tell others the good news of the resurrection, the good news of reconciliation with God through the forgiveness of sins. And Thomas missed out. When Thomas shows up, the other disciples tell him, "We have seen the Lord. We had this awesome experience of seeing him. We know it was him because we saw the nail marks. We saw the place where the spear had been thrust into his side. He spoke to us. He is alive." And Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas is often called Doubting Thomas because of these words. But think about it. Didn't the others doubt until they had seen proof for themselves of the resurrection? What I hear in these words is hurt. Why did Jesus appear to the rest of them, but not to him? Didn't he spend the last 3 years following Jesus just like the rest of them? Why has he been left out? When I couple these words with Thomas's previous assertion, "Let us also go that we may die with him," what I hear is pain and confusion and a strong desire to have the same experience that the other disciples had. A week later, the disciples were once again in the locked room, the last place that they had seen Jesus. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus appeared and said, "Peace be with you." Then he turned to Thomas and said, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Be not unbelieving, but believe." Jesus offered Thomas exactly what he had requested. Thomas responded, "My Lord and my God." Any doubts that Thomas had regarding the resurrection had been removed. Any need that he had for any proof that Jesus loved him just like he did the others is gone. And Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Immediately after that statement, we are told the purpose of John's gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These words are meant for us and for all to whom the gospel message has been passed down. They are echoed in what we heard in our second reading from 1 Peter, where Peter is writing to churches in the five Roman provinces in what is now Turkey. "Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We may long to see Jesus as the disciples did, to see him face to face, to see the scars he bore for us, to feel him breathe on us in these COVID times a breath that brings life, to have him bestow upon us a peace that the world cannot give, to hear him tell us directly how we are to engage in God's mission of reconciliation and restoration. We may not have the experience that the disciples did, but we have the words of faith that have been passed down to us. Scripture has been written so that we believe with eyes of faith what we cannot see with our physical eyes. In believing, we come to see that Jesus is the Messiah, and that in believing we receive the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. The testimony of those who encountered Jesus during his life and shortly after his resurrection has been preserved and passed on to the community of faith we call the church, and to this body of believers entrusted with the mission to be God's hands and feet in the world. Although the book of Acts records the travels of some of the disciples, it does not record what became of Thomas. Tradition states that Thomas traveled further than any of the other apostles, all the way to the southern part of India. Many churches in the Middle East and southern Asia mention Thomas in their historical traditions as their founder. It is said that he died in India. Thomas believed, and he stepped out in faith to act upon that belief as he spread the message far beyond his homeland. Believe and see and say as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God." Amen.
Please stand as you're able and join us for the hymn of the day, 379. Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of rebirth, the good news of your resurrection brings refreshment to a weary world. Following the women at the tomb, empower us to boldly share your radical love through our words and our works. Hear us, O God.
As you breathe your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon all creation. Nourish the earth with your sufficient rain. Strengthen us to counter the effects of pollution and destruction. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You prepared the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equip our community leaders. Give them a spirit of peace and hearts that burn for justice, that their leadership reflects your love. Hear us, O God.
Come among us in unexpected ways. Send us to those who fear, who you hide in fear, question your love. Be a healing presence for any isolated by addiction, incarceration, mental illness, chronic pain, sickness, or grief. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. As you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence along our journeys. Bless our doubts and our questions. Provide trusting and safe relationships for all ages to nurture our connection to you and one another. Hear us, O God.
Resurrecting God, you bring us to new life every day. Thank you for blessing us with companions on our faith journey, especially those who now rest in your love. Strengthen us with your eternal peace and your promises. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and our praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please offer peace at this time. Thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and offerings, and you can give through online banking, through the app, or at this time, we'll sing the offering song, 692. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings, as you have raised us to new life in Christ. Give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please join me with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. The sending song is 537.